We are in the middle of football season. There are many who enjoy football. There are many who place a great deal of importance on the games and the outcomes of those games. I recall when I was working in the workaday world, on Monday, folks would come in and they'd say, "You see the game?" And I would say, "What game?" Finally, they stopped asking. They placed a great deal of importance on those games, the outcome of those games. They would have little contests, I call them wagers, on those games because they were diehard fans and they thought that their team was better than everybody else's. There are even those that will set aside assembling with the Saints on Sunday evening during the football season, as Sunday night football is in full swing during the time when many congregations meet. I have known of people who would come to services on Sunday morning and would tell you they would not be back because the Super Bowl is on. I have known people who would go out of town and go to a football game, and it was okay so long as they caught one service of the Lord's church somewhere in the vicinity of where that game was. While we are not to allow anything to come between us and God, even football, we can learn some things from football about spiritual growth. I bet when you saw the title listed in the bulletin, 10 yards at a time, you had no idea that this was dealing with spiritual growth. But spiritual growth is important. And we can draw some parallel between a football game and our life and the spiritual growth that we should have. For those who may not be aware, the focus during a football game is to advance the ball up the field to the goal and rack up points by crossing the goal line more than your opponent. I never will forget in high school, a boy finally quit the team. We were in junior high school, and somehow a ball got tipped. And the shock on his face was measurable even from the sidelines. You see, I was on the bench. But you could see. But the shock on everybody else's face was even more when he took off and ran the wrong way. They stopped him. We possessed the ball at that point. But he had lost focus. He got bumped and got turned around or something. Here he goes, and he was giving it everything. He was going for the goal line. Sometimes this advancement is achieved 10 yards at a time. When you achieve that 10-yard goal, you're given what is called a first down, an opportunity to begin again with that drive to advance the ball up the field so that you might eventually cross the goal line and put points on the board. The same can be said of spiritual growth. We need to advance in our growth as we strive to reach the goal of heaven. There are spiritual goals that we should set while we are here on the earth. I was talking to someone at one point back, a year or so ago. And the person said that they didn't think much of rote memory or memorizing Bible verses. I've learned recently that that has been incorporated in some of the classes that they have. And it's good. We should know Bible verses. And it should help us as we focus upon these Bible verses and upon this memory work, if you will, to draw closer to God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and we can see that he was stressing growth. He said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, We can see what these things were given for, so that the body of Christ might be edified, that it could grow, that it could continue to advance. When were these things given, or for what purpose were these things given? Verse 13 tells us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the member of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to understand that these things that were listed, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and apostles, they were given, some of these, for a limited period of time. Now we even today have evangelists. Some congregations have pastors. Hopefully all congregations have teachers. But none of these are given the word directly as those were in that day. But verse 14 tells us why we needed those things. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As Paul wrote this to the Ephesian brethren, and as we read it, we can see a number of things. That we are to grow. When we become a child of God, when we are put on the team, so to speak, we don't know the plays. But as we grow and as we learn, we have the playbook. God has provided it for us. We should learn the plays. We should be able to carry them out. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. We should no longer be deceived by those who would deceive us using the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, but rather should be able to grow. Spiritual growth is a necessity for every Christian. I have heard it said that if you're not growing, you are dying. Think about that for a moment. If you are not growing, you are dying. And it's ever so true when you're talking about our spiritual existence. We must continue to advance. We must continue to grow. It is so important as a follower of Christ and a servant of God to grow spiritually. We should grow to the point that we ought to be able to take the Word of God and take it to other people so that they too might have a full understanding of God's Word, the blessings contained therein, the promises that are within it, and how to attain the promise of eternal life. How to go from this life to that which is beyond. In football, this requires steady gains. Never have you been so disappointed when your team is on a drive and all of a sudden the quarterback gets tackled behind the line of scrimmage? Well, he's backing up. Now it's 3rd and 25 instead of 1st and 10. The same thing is true spiritually. But before we can grow spiritually, before we can have a steady gain spiritually, we must have the desire to grow. I didn't become much of a football player. The truth of the matter is, when I graduated high school, I weighed 145 pounds. I know it's hard to believe looking at me now. But let's just say that was more than just a few years ago. And at the time, I hadn't met Linda, and I didn't learn what good cooking was all about. But I didn't become such a good football player because I was not committed to it. There were people that were actually smaller than me, believe it or not, on our football team. And they became good football players. Why? Because they had the desire to be good football players. Today in the church, we have some that are as I was in high school. We don't have the desire to grow spiritually. They want to come, sit on the pew when they're here, and say, I'm not getting anything out of services. I'm not learning anything. We must have the desire. The psalmist And Psalms 119, verse 66, alludes to this. He does so as he's writing in this psalm, and it's words that we should apply to us today, that we should express. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. He had the desire, he wanted to know. If we are to grow, we must first sincerely desire to do so. Some say that they have the desire, but they show no effort toward doing so. To grow as a Christian, it takes effort. And a lot of it. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we find the example of those who put forth effort. They were to be commended because of their activities. And it was well known that they participated in this. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." What did they do? Well, they questioned what the preacher said. There's a lot of people that question what the preacher says. But why did they question it? Or how did they question it? The same way that I desire that all would question it today. Compare it with the Word of God. But notice how often they did it. They did it on Sunday, right after services. And they didn't bother it the rest of the week. That's not what the passage tells us. It tells us they were more noble. Why? That they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. They showed by their actions that they had a desire to grow, a desire to know. I recall reading somewhere, don't remember the name of the preacher, but a young person walked up to a preacher and said, "I would give half my life to be able to quote Scripture like you do." The preacher looked down at him and smiled and said, "Son, I already have." What was he saying? He didn't wake up one day and say, "Wait a minute, this passage is here and this passage is there, and I know these passages." No. He committed them to his memory by use. He diligently strove to remember them, and he used them. In other words, he put forth the effort. Again, in Acts chapter 119 and verse 97, we see the psalmist talking about loving thy law. How do we know that he loved the law of God? Because he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." What do we meditate on? Those who gather around the water cooler at work, just try it tomorrow. Just listen. You don't have to participate in the conversation. Just listen. A lot of them will be talking about whatever games are being played this evening. Somebody might be talking about Tiger Woods' win this afternoon. The point is, what have they not meditated on? We need to have a plan for growth. That plan of growth needs to include daily Bible study. Not just a casual reading, but daily Bible study. We need to be involved in a Bible study. And it's easier, I will tell you from experience, it's easier to study the Bible with someone than it is to do so yourself. But I know several volunteers that will help you, will get with you if you need that. We can plan for growth by taking notes. It's interesting to me that there are those that do take notes. They take those notes and they go back over them and they look at the scriptures, and some of them have brought to my attention that I called out a wrong scripture. I probably have done so this evening. But I'm pleased with that because they're taking notes. They're writing it down. Another way that we can plan for growth is to consult commentaries on difficult scriptures. Now, that might be sound simple, or it might be simple to say, but you better be careful as to which commentary that you look into. Perhaps look into several of them and see which one of them are speaking as the Bible speaks. You can watch and listen to lessons by various gospel preachers. There are means by which you can receive recorded sermons or class material. You can take available Bible classes. I was encouraged as we stopped by Tuesday, I believe it was, with someone who had taken a Bible course with a congregation somewhere in Tennessee. She had completed that course, and they asked me to follow up. I did. The lady was very pleasant. The main thing she wanted to know, do y'all have a course too? I said, yes, ma'am, and guess what? We've got a Bible study with the ladies every other Monday, and you're more than welcome to come too. We'll see if she shows. But it was encouraging because what she said was, I love to study the Bible. We must be willing to take the time. You know, growth doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Sometimes it takes years. There are many people who go to high school and they play ball. Then they go to college and they play ball. And they think, well, you know, one of these days that person might be made into a professional ball player, and so somebody drafts them. They're not superstars overnight. They have to develop. Well, the same thing is true in spiritual growth. It doesn't happen overnight. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we'll see as Paul is writing to Timothy, he talks about where Timothy's foundation was, how it was instilled in him. And we'll see that it covers the span of generations. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. What we have represented here are three generations who were involved in spiritual growth. Great players do not become so overnight. Great Christians do not become so just because they are on God's team. We must be willing to take time to learn. This may mean sacrificing other things. I don't know how many times I have heard the phrase, I don't have time, even when it comes to Bible study. I'm going to say this evening, you don't have time not to study the Bible, because your soul is dependent upon it. In Psalms chapter 25 and verse 5, we'll see the psalmist penning additional words regarding his desire to learn and to know. He said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We see where his focus was. It was in the law of thy truth. Are you willing to take the time? In football, there's a thing called penalty. Oh, I get tickled. Our son likes football. And when he's home, believe it or not, we watch football. And he'll be watching football, and he'll be sitting there on the couch, and I'm sitting there in the chair, and I'm relaxed, and probably my eyes are just about closed, and he hollers, throw a flag! Why? He's seen an infraction in the rules. He wants a penalty to be assessed. Infraction of the rules results in penalties in football and also in the area of spiritual growth. What kind of areas? What about if we're not willing to let go of traditions? That's a spiritual growth infraction. I don't have a flag, nor do I know the symbols that would be used to call that penalty. But people are involved in that penalty. Not willing to let go of traditions. I once asked a question of somebody one time at a congregation. They said, well, that's the way we've always done it. Okay. Is that the way we always must do it? Is it wrong, or is it wrong, or do you think it's wrong because that's the way it's always been done? The person said, well, that's just the way we're going to do it. Well, I said, well, that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with the way it's being done. But let me ask you this. What if you had been in denominationalism all your life? Are you not going to come out of it just because you've been in it all your life? That, to me, would be terrible. We must be willing to let go of traditions when we realize that they are contrary to God. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus addressed this. These people approached him and they say, here, we're going to present to you a tradition. Or we're going to present to you the law of Moses and ask why your disciples don't follow this. Or whatever the situation was and is. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? We need to ask ourselves, if we're going to participate in spiritual growth, are we willing to let go of the traditions of men and hold firmly to the commandments of God? There may be certain ideas we grew up with believing in. Would you give them up when the Word of God says differently? Time and time again, in talking to people, in classes and stuff like that, people have said to me, you know, I never knew that was in the Bible. But sometimes their actions speak louder than words. They continue going on with that which they previously believed. A lack of dedication in study is an infraction. It has always been that way when it comes to God. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, we'll see what infraction the people participated in then and the resulting penalty. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And we can say, oh well, that was Israel and that was back then. Friends, the church today is hurt because of a famine. People are starving to death. And I'm not talking about food for our physical bodies. They're starving to death because they're not dedicated enough to study God's Word. They want to take the preacher's word for it. They want to rack up points by being in the stands, so to speak. They want the touchdown without following the rules. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's unfortunate that many will go to judgment. And they will try at that time to stand before the Creator of the universe and say, I didn't know, or somebody didn't tell me. But that will not be an excuse. We also need to comment on handling the defense. Hindrances. When a football team is on the field, there's another football team on the field, and one is playing offense and the other is playing defense. The offense is trying to get to the goal line. The defense is trying to hinder them legally and within the rules from doing so. The world says that there are better things to do than studying God's Word. Oh, you know what? You can do that when you're older. What if you don't get older? Oh, you know, that's for those old weird people over there. No, it's for us as Christians to do. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, we see the results of people hating knowledge and refusing to study. He says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall find or not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of God stands forever and is more important than worldly things. or worldly activities. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, we see this. People today need to apply the logic that is behind this, the wisdom that is behind this. And we need to think as events happen, as opportunities to do something happens, what's more important? Is it more important to gather with the saints, to perhaps maybe soak up a little bit of the Word of God? Or is it better to go do this with my friends? Or to go do that because it's a great opportunity? It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The Apostle Paul, as guided by the Spirit in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, gave words to them so that they would know how dear their salvation was. How much more important than it was for things of the world and the hindrances that the world could put out there. He says, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, all that the world can offer does not matter. You can have your worldly pleasures, your silver and your gold. But when the end comes, when the game's over, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And these things will not matter. Therefore, while you are here, they should be loss for Christ. We should be willing to give them up. What about temptations? One temptation that we may fall into, which would be a hindrance to spiritual growth, is just to take what others say as the truth. In talking to people, I find that the phrase, my preacher says, or more usually, my pastor says, comes up often in conversations. My response to that is usually, what does the Bible say? Well, my pastor says, the Bible says, such and such and this and that. That's not the question I ask. What does the Bible say? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, we see the words of Jesus Christ. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do so and teach them, the same shall be called great in the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. We need to understand this, our responsibility when it's all said and done. True, the preacher may help guide you. True, the teacher may help guide you as according to what the scripture says, but it's our responsibility. Another temptation, which is a hindrance to spiritual growth, is to think that you know everything. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. I had a preacher one time to say to me relative to a situation, I went to school. Do you not think I know what I'm doing? That's scary. Because I too can read the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 22 speaks to people such as this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We need to be very careful. We need to make sure that we achieve in our goal for spiritual growth the first downs, the accomplishments, because these lead to touchdowns. This helps us to rack up points. This helps us so that we might have the ability to answer questions concerning the Bible. Sometimes when people call you up and you're talking about the Bible, or the Bible comes up in conversation and they ask you a question, do you know where it can be found? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. But there's nothing wrong with saying, I can't put my finger on it right now, but give me a couple hours and I'll find it for you. And then you go home and search. But look it up. Always look it up. I actually had someone tell me that every tub stands on its own bottom is in the Bible. And I said, find it. And they said, well, I can't find it, but it's in there somewhere. 66 books. I don't know how many chapters. I don't know how many verses. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Every tub stands on its own bottom is not in there. And if you can find it, please show it to me. But it can also lead to the accomplishment in spiritual growth is the willingness and the ability to teach and preach. Countless number of people said, you know, I can't teach a Bible class. Well, why not? You've been a Christian for 25 years. You're a man. You should have known enough by now to teach a Bible class. Maybe not ongoing, full time, but at least fill in and help out. As we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we will see that in our search for spiritual growth, that we must be approved by and pleasing in the eyes of God. He is the one that matters. As Paul wrote to Timothy, as guided by the Spirit, he said, study, there's that word again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me ask you, are you ready to line up and do what it takes to grow in knowledge to God? Know that it will not happen overnight. Know that there are temptations out there in abundance. Know that there are hindrances out there that would keep you from growing. But know also that to grow is to draw closer to God. Take your gains 10 yards at a time if you have to. But the ultimate goal is not just winning the game here, but winning to the point where we pass over into eternity to be with God forever. Do you want to do that? The Bible teaches us, in order that we might do that, that there are some things that we must participate in. We must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We must believe it, John 8:24. Repent of our sins, Acts 2:38. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. And then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Mark 16:16. Having done these things, we are to remain in the game, and we are to live faithfully until death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see what we are instructed there to do. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps tonight you are here. You're on the Lord's team. But you've not been an active player. You've not participated in spiritual growth. You can. But before you do so, you must reestablish that relationship with God. If you've allowed sin to come between you and God, you need to take care of that. You do so according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 through repentance and prayer. Tonight, are you growing spiritually? Do you wish to be on the Lord's team? Do you wish to be an active participant in that team? If so, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song?